doing it for 57 years, and they make it so easy for you. You make the phone call, and somebody like Scott or Leslie from Grable will come out and give you an in-home survey right here in the city of Houston. And the great thing is they got 50 service centers, and they're all privately owned across the country. So when you go from one location to another, say you go from one city to another, Grable's handling it the whole way, and because they're privately owned and operated, they have all the same standards for their hiring process. Everyone background checked, certified, drug tested. They will take care of the things that are important to you from your home. They get it done quickly, efficiently, and you know what? They are the very best in the industry, and they've been known as the very best for decades. Give them a call right here in Houston at 713-937-1115. Don't move by yourself. Have the professionals do it from Grable, 713-937-1115.
What time is it? It's college basketball time, Houston, and 1560 The Game is proud to be bringing you the March of Madness show every Sunday night at 7 p.m. The show is hosted by Basketball Hall of Famer and former Georgetown head coach John Thompson and will feature interviews with coaches and players as well as a weekly discussion about the hot news and topics affecting college hoops. Don't miss the March of Madness show Sunday nights at 7 p.m. only on 1560 The Game. KGOW. 1560 AM, Bel Air, Texas. Get in the game, Houston.
After a well-balanced meal, or for a well-deserved snack after school, you might want to grab a handful of jelly beans. Don't eat the black jelly beans. They taste disgusting. It's just my opinion, but it's true.
1560 The Game. We care about you. Back to David Nuno and Fred Fowler, two guys who are way too good looking for radio. Well, not Fowler.
Well, everybody looked very, it was a very interesting evening in terms of looking around. And I don't know whether you noticed, and I'm sure you had to if you saw the news, because they played this up. Barack Obama and Teddy Kennedy sitting here like this. Yeah. Good pals. And Hillary.
I hate some strong word, but I hate. Not a fan of Whoopi Goldberg at all. I mean, she's a little funny. But you're wondering, why are we playing a scene from The View? Well, because the movie Eddie was so bad, there are no scenes out there for the movie Eddie. Eddie is a movie about the New York Knicks and this big fan that goes to every Knicks game, sits up top, and is a big fan. And the owner wants to try a gimmick and makes her the head coach of the New York Knicks, and they start to win.
This is a plot that's dumber than a barrel of hair.
Yeah, a barrel of hair is pretty dumb.
That's all I got. That's one of those movies I saw about 4 minutes of and just said, you know what, this is so stupid that I can't even watch it.
It was terrible, and I watched the entire thing twice.
So I don't know that she's really an athlete, you know, being a coach, but I'm pretending like you didn't say that.
I really did see it twice. Like, it was like, I love watching like NBA players in a movie. I think Rick Fox was in it, and I don't know, maybe Kendall Gill, somebody else. There was a couple of NBA players.
How about the fact that Malik Sealy was the star of the team?
Yeah, what was up with that?
Hey, he could play.
The bad attitude star of the team was Malik Sealy.
And what about Rick Fox being a womanizer, what they thought in the movie? That didn't turn out to be real in art imitating life.
No.
That guy's a pimp. I like him. That sounded weird.
Still trying to figure out where I can go buy a barrel of hair.
Oh, you didn't know? Home Depot. Oh, what the heck am I talking about?
Yeah, can someone please come sign for this? Big barrel of hair. Curly.
Poor Bob Halsey right now, about to get on the line from AstrosDaily.com, wondering what have I stumbled upon. And we're doing our AstrosDaily.com segment.
Yeah, Bob, I got this barrel of hair for you. Where do you want me to leave it? You going to be home? You going to be home this afternoon?
Just don't leave it at the bottom of my shower. That's all I care about.
Oh, there we go. See, Bob slides right in. You were all worried, Nuno.
Yeah, I was like, man, I hope Bob
is
ready.
You were all worried.
I hope he's ready, but I saw his post. He was preparing.
Ready.
What's going on, Bob?
Well, it's a good old Sunday morning. It's supposed to be getting up to around 80 degrees today. So the whole thought of pitchers and catchers reporting seems almost past due around here, so it's we're looking forward to it.
Ed Brandon, ladies and gentlemen. Bob, let's. You were telling a story, and I want you to kind of go into it real quick about AstrosDaily.com. First off, it's very similar to Clutch Fans, and we're doing the same thing we do with them, with you guys, where we want the message board to call in and talk Astros with us, and they can use their moniker online, and at that, and the number here is 713-439-1560. But talk a little bit about, I don't know if the history is the right way to phrase it, but the way Drayton McClain basically helped save AstrosDaily.com.
Well, the site started around 1999, 2000, somewhere in there. And it was started by a fellow by the name of Ray Kirby. And he came up with the whole idea of getting the website started. Around that same time, maybe 2001 or so, we were contacted by Major League Baseball Properties, which said, we don't like the fact that you're using pictures of Astros players wearing their Astros caps and having the words Astros across their front and that sort of thing. So we're going to sue you to either stop using photos like that or we'll shut you down. And so Ray Kirby was to the point where he was ready to shut down. And some friends of ours got in contact with Drayton McClain. Drayton McClain got in contact with the lawyers and said, basically, look, these guys, you know, are harmless, just cool it. So we agreed to make a few modest changes to the site design and more prominently feature the fact that we are a fan site and not the official website of the Astros, and we were allowed to stay up. So our thanks and gratitude go to Drayton McClain and Sam Gardner for stepping in like that, or we wouldn't be here.
Heck yeah. And we want to let you, AstrosDaily.com listeners, I know this is new to some of you guys, call in. We want you to be part of the show, 713-439-1560. And the email also is gametime@1560thegame.com. But we are reading the board, so if you got something up there, we will get to it. I know there's a couple questions already posted from, you know, the week that you had it up. But, Bob, let's talk a little bit about, you know, pitchers and catchers this week. But we've kind of joked on the show, catchers, because there aren't really a lot of pitchers.
Well, actually, there's a lot of pitchers. There's just not a lot of them that we feel real confident about, or that I should say that we fans feel real confident about in many cases because we don't know these guys. It's been a dramatic turnover this offseason. I was noting earlier that of the roster that the Astros took to the National League pennant in 2005, there's only five players on the current roster now that were there at that time, which seems like an amazing turnover after you've had some success. So Ed Wade certainly didn't sit on his hands. He certainly went to work and worked the phones and brought in a whole bunch of people, and we're just going to sit back now and see how they all mold together. I think it's going to be a real challenge for Cecil Cooper in his first real managerial time with the Astros to take a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of organizations and try to mold them together into a functioning ball club.
Bob, I think the big question is obviously the starting rotation. Take us through the guys they're bringing in a little bit and give us your take on them.
Well, everybody knows Roy Oswalt, of course, and he's the unquestioned ace of the staff, and deservedly so. He was the only pitcher to win 20 games both in 2004 and 2005, and you know, as a frequent all-star and doesn't really need much embellishment. Behind him, you've got what I call a second tier of two players that I think are the most likely to step up into the number two role. One of them, surprisingly enough, is going to be left-hander Wandy Rodriguez. Now, we've seen Wandy as sort of that girl with the curl. He's either very, very good or very, very bad. But if you look at his numeric progression, not just looking at wins and losses and ERAs, but if you look at things like strikeout-to-walk ratio and such, he gets better every year. Just, you know, not a lot better, but he gets a little better every year. So it's getting to the point in his career now where he may be ready to step up into a better role. I'm not talking about, you know, Cy Young Award candidate here, but I'm talking about somebody who could put together, you know, 10 to 15 wins, as you were saying before at the top of the hour, that they might need from a second starter. The other fellow is Brandon Bakke, and I think Bakke is somebody who, of course, went through the Tommy John surgery, came back for a little bit last year, looked pretty good, for those last few starts, and it really remains to be seen whether he can show again what he showed us in the postseason a couple of years ago.
Hey, people are really excited about Felipe Paulino. What are your thoughts on him, and you know, realistically, what can we expect from a guy this year?
Well, I think if the Astros were to have everything go exactly as they planned, they would keep Paulino probably in AAA the entire season and let him develop. However, he does have good stuff. He's got a major league arm, and I think that the idea is that if they need him, they'll call on him, but they'd probably rather let him have one more year of seasoning. He didn't get very much time in AAA at all. If I'm not mistaken, he spent a good part of last year in AA. So getting him some additional seasoning would be a good idea, but it may be an extravagance that the Astros can't afford.
And I saw some talk on the boards, and also ESPN reporters had mentioned that Ed Wade was, you know, in the Dominican, looking at who else he can add. And one of the names is Bartolo Colon. We were kind of throwing it around here. I think it's a good gamble, kind of like a no-lose gamble, the way I saw the Steve Francis situation with the Rockets. Realistically, is Bartolo Colon maybe a good fit? Is it going to happen? What are your thoughts?
Well, I got negative feedback in terms of how he looked in his winter ball playing. So I'm not really sure he lived up to the expectations that they were hoping for. The guys that are left there now on the free agent market, for the most part, are guys that are coming off of arm injuries. And so, yes, you can sign them to deals that are highly incentive-based and hope that they rebound and come through. On the other hand, there's one or two guys out there that just, for whatever reason, haven't caught on yet. And the guy that really has my attention is Levon Hernandez. Even though his numbers don't look all that great, Levon Hernandez definitely is somebody who's used to big game situations, mm-hmm. used to pitching in hitters' ballparks and such. So I think he does have this amazing knack of showing up in the postseason most of the time. So that in itself is sort of a good omen. So that's really the guy I wish they would turn their attention to. But a lot of it depends on numbers, depends on how much money is available in the budget. I know that with two guys that are being taken to arbitration, that you've got somewhere around $4 million of wiggle room there, and I think that part of the reason that the Astros may be holding off on signing another pitcher is because they want to see how those two things turn out and to see how much money they would be able to dangle in front of one of the remaining free agent pitchers that are left.
Hey, and another thing that you didn't mention about Levon Hernandez that I think makes him a very good pitcher is he's also happens to be Cuban.
Ah.
Just got to throw that out there because I represent the Cuban flavor here in Houston, Texas, which is about nine of us. But regardless, all right, Astros Daily, we're calling you out. I know you guys are writing on the boards. We want you to call in. We're going to do the next segment with you guys. Call in and get your takes. Ryan, Ed, Stewart, Clack, all you guys, we've posted and come on in. We've got another segment to talk Astros, 713-439-1560. That's 713-439-1560. And the email is gametime@1560thegame.com. Got another segment. We'll talk a little Astros with you. Pitchers and catchers reporting. We want to talk about the rest of the team coming up next. And Cecil Cooper with his first real year. I mean, he did some mop-up duty at the end of the year last year. We're going to see how he does. We've got Bob Halsey from AstrosDaily.com. Got a lot more.
Hey, skiers and snowboarders, Lance Zierlein here. The President's Day Ski Sale is going on now at Sun & Ski Sports. The snow is fantastic. Go skiing. The experts over at Sun & Ski Sports will help you select the right gear to keep you warm, safe, and dry. And you are talking about some unbelievable savings when you talk about Sun & Ski. Savings for the entire family, as a matter of fact. Check this out. Salomon X-Wing 10 skis with bindings, 35% off. Save 50% off of chalet ski jackets, bibs, and pants at Sun & Ski Sports. And Burton Dominant Snowboard. It was $379, now just $299. And by the way, cyclists, this Saturday, a new MS-150 training ride takes off from Sun & Ski Sports' Katie Mills. Benefits Ducks Unlimited. You can register at sunandski.com. The President's Day Ski Sale going on right now at Sun & Ski Sports. 5 convenient locations, Westheimer, the new store at Memorial City next to Sears, Katy Mills, FM 1960 West, and Bay Area Boulevard, or sunandski.com.
1560 The Game is the proud new home of Random College Basketball Game.
And the series continues. Random College Basketball, Washington at Oregon. 1560 The Game takes you to Pac-10 country this Thursday for a 7:15 start, when the two perennial powerhouses in the Pac-10 take on each other and try to show which one is a more dominant team in the Pac-10. Random College Basketball this Thursday, 7:15 on 1560 The Game.
Hey everybody, about 9 years ago, I was sitting in the Astrodome, I'd forgotten my glasses, and I couldn't see a thing on the field. It was all a blur. I hated it. I hated wearing contacts, but I did something about it, and you can too. Go to International Eye Care. You want someone with experience. You need someone with that experience when you're sitting in that chair. Dr. Charlie Moore and Dr. Binder, 40,000 refractive surgeries. You think they don't know this business? They're pioneers in the industry, and they say this is the best laser that they ever had. And they own the lasers, so they can pass that savings on to you. Don't let financing get in the way. And look at the financing right now. No interest, no payments for up to 18 months. No money down payments as low as $97 a month. Call 713-984-9777. 713-984-9777. Or go to TexasLASIK.com. Free thorough evaluations. All of it in-house at International Eye Care. 713-984-9777.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to 1560. You know how I know? Because I'm up here. I flew in through the window. It's a pretty place. Smells like alcohol and horse poop. Just like you'd expect. I think that Granada fella's kind of funny. But the Zerlein fella is too. If I had to choose between them both, I would choose not to choose at all. And that's my choice. What's yours?
Time to rejoin David Nuño and Fred Fowler, the guy who used to be somebody, but now he's just another radio blowhard with an opinion.
Alright, we don't have a clip for this one, but we're talking about movie stars playing athletes that just really suck. And Michael O'Keefe and the Slugger's Wife, Freddie, you've got opinions on this one, my friend.
How's this guy a power hitter? I mean, you know, Caddyshack. Yeah. How's your power hitter? I just want to know.
The guy sucks. Yeah. That's how.
It's such a horrible movie. I mean, I don't understand when people make movies, they get this idea that, oh, let's cast this person as this. You know, well, forgive the fact that most ideas now for movies are just stupid, which is why we have so many remakes.
Yeah.
But let's have a stupid movie, and then let's get a guy who doesn't even look like he played one inning of baseball in his life and make him a slugger.
Scott said in this one, which is, why didn't we think of this one, guys? Tony Danza in Angels in the Outfield. That was horrendous. Tony Danza in anything but Who's the Boss? Not really a fan of. Oh, that one movie, didn't he have a movie with a monkey?
He's pretty good in Taxi.
Taxi, yeah. He's like,
yeah, I mean, if he had stopped there, he'd have been fine.
Hey, Bob, you got one for us? You got a movie star that tried to play an athlete in a movie that just was terrible?
Oh, goodness. Well, you've covered so many of them already, it's kind of hard for me to add on to it.
But who's your favorite, or your least favorite, I should say?
Well, I don't know. I tend to forget the least favorite ones. I very much liked Bull Durham. That was, I think, one of my favorite sports movies of all time. The original Longest Yard was also pretty clever.
All right, let's do this. Astros Daily, we're calling you out. This is your chance to get up on the boards, call us up. We're not going to be mean. We may make fun of you at some point, but that's much later when you're not around. So don't worry about that. You won't hear it, hopefully. Well, maybe you're still listening. That'll be good.
Yeah, we're a very caller-friendly show. We really are. So call on in right now, 713-439-1560. And if you call in now, we'll put you up right away. Give us your Astros questions for Bob, and let's talk about what the team's going to do this year.
AstrosDaily.com's Bob Hulsey. And Bob, we've got a... you guys have like 79 people who work at, you know, for Astros Daily, because I went to do the contact. You know, Clutch was easy. You know, it's Clutch at Clutch Fans. You know, you go, Dave?
Yeah.
But you guys have 419 guys. How do you have so many people working on the site?
They're all aliases. That's all. No, really. There's been about, I'd say less than a dozen people that have contributed things in terms of, you know, regular material. However, we do have several people that are contributing as columnists, and we welcome them. As a matter of fact, if somebody emails us a guest column, we'll put it up there, you know, so long as it's astro-related or at least has some interest to our audience, then we would put it up there and, you know, let people view it and judge it for themselves.
I've got to call out Phenomenal Smith, who wrote, "I've never called in a talk show. I know I'd be too nervous and end up sounding stupid." No, I think that post might have been the bad thing, but I think every question is good. I mean, let's talk about it. The Astros have got some really good pieces this year. I mean, I think last year people were so disappointed with the way the season was going. I think management and everything. But there is a buzz about this team, Bob.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I'm going to call out some Astro fans myself because this year, you know, last year people warmed up to Carlos Lee and showed up with the stick ponies and that sort of thing. I want to see people show up in hazmat suits this year for Kaz Matsui. I'm going to call him Kazmat.
Kazmat.
You know, dress up some hazmat suits, put some Astro stickers on them and that sort of thing. I want to see a few guys from, like, Baytown, Channelview, that sort of thing. It shouldn't be too hard to find hazmat suits around there. Just bring them to the ballpark, show up in those, and root on Kaz Matsui.
Wow. I think I might start doing it.
That ought to feel pretty comfortable in the middle of July. Hanging out over at the bus in a hazmat suit, sweating. As long as I can put it on once I get inside the stadium, Bob. Is that cool?
That's cool.
All right.
What are your thoughts on the whole Miguel Tejada situation now? I mean, that's been the big talk is he going to get in trouble? I mean, should they have done the deal? There's so many things, but as of today, we're talking, what, February, what is today, the 10th? Talking today, what do you feel about Miguel?
Well, I think that it's all going to blow over for the most part. I think it's very, very difficult. I mean, when you have somebody like Rafael Palmeiro who sits in front of the Congress, waves his finger, and says, "I never did steroids," and then a few months later gets suspended for steroids, and he's not hauled before them for perjury charges. I really have a hard time seeing Miguel Tejada, who's really an auxiliary in this whole story, getting in deep with the law for the same sort of thing, if indeed that's true. And at this point, you know, there's still the he's still not admitting that he has done any sort of illegal drugs. And I do think that it's something that, you know, has to play out. Now, I'm more concerned about whether Major League Baseball might say, well, we've got enough smoke here, so there's got to be fire, so let's suspend him and let's make a let's make an example of him and suspend him for maybe 50 days, 100 days, something like that, as a way of trying to intimidate other people who may be maybe in that same position. So I think there's that possibility. Now, in terms of the player, I kind of got the feeling that Miguel Tejada was burned out. I mean, imagine yourself as a Baltimore Oriole. You show up every year, and you know you're not going to beat the Yankees and the Red Sox. That you're just in a division where your chances of going to the postseason are just nil.
Right.
So I honestly think that Miguel Tejada is going to have something of a bounce-back year. I also look at him as a short-term risk simply because he only has two more years left on his contract. So, yes, he costs a lot of money. Maybe the Astros will look at signing him to an extension. But even if they don't, here's a guy that you're really only investing in for 2 years. And then if somebody from the minors develops in that time, then maybe you bring that guy up and you let Tejada go carry on his career elsewhere.
Hey, I'm calling out somebody right now, Twisted Joker, who actually has a good topic to discuss, but I wanted to call in with it. Backy, Pence, and Oswald are a good foundation to build around. And those are, and especially a guy like Backy, we know what we can get from him when he's on, but he's been injured, and he's still a young player. What does Brandon Backy mean to this team?
Well, at this point, he's a lifeline. I mean, he's somebody that the Astros can hope for to fill in that second or third spot in the rotation, and there's not really that many viable candidates right now for that. I mean, I don't really have a whole lot of expectation in Woody Williams. I hear talk that he was disappointed in the way he performed last year to the point where he swears he'll be better this year. But, I mean, once you get over 40, you're just a huge question mark. I mean, we've seen guys lately like Clemens and Randy Johnson and such that still performed well in their 40s, but I honestly just don't count on somebody that age performing very well over the course of an entire season. If I were in charge of that situation, I would try to turn Williams into maybe a 5- or 6-inning starter and just sort of get him out of there before he starts getting into real trouble, which I think was part of the reason that he had such a poor record last year.
That's Bob Halsey from AstrosDaily.com. Bob, I know it's going to be a little while until we talk again because I've got to go through 17 other columnists, but I appreciate your insight, and I appreciate the AstrosDaily.com board typing in some of their questions and whatnot. Hopefully next week we'll get some of them to call and not be so shy, but we appreciate your time, and we'll do it again pretty soon.
Okay, that sounds great. Looking forward to it.
That's Bob Halsey, AstrosDaily.com. Good board right there, guys. They have some good chatter on there, and I enjoy reading what I, you know, they've got some good opinions. Hopefully we'll get them to talk next time.
Yeah, just jump right in here because we're easy to talk to.
We've got another little text message that I want to get to, and this was coming from Ryan. Air Bud was pretty money. Anytime a dog is playing sports, you know it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, except it's supposed to be a golden retriever, and the dog was red in one of the movies. I mean, come on. How many red golden retrievers are out there?
Six.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm telling you, there's six. I count it.
I just, come on. I mean, all right.